Good afternoon, board. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to come and speak at the board. My name is Patrick Duane Thompson. As you already know, I am the founder and president of Visionaries Educating Youth and Adult, which stands for short for VIA. The purpose and mission is for VIA is to provide educational and supportive service to at-risk youth and adults to help reduce the recidivism rate. And over the last 6 years, we have partnered with the University of Illinois College of Ed, Department of Educational Policy and Study to run an after-school tutoring and mentoring program for at-risk youth. I sent the board some supporting documents, and do you guys have those documents? Those documents are documents of the program, support letters from superintendents, support letters from chancellor, the letters from response letters from chancellors, as well as elected officials. And the reason why I'm here today, because I wanted to discuss the need to increase more academic after school and summer program for minority and at-risk youths in the Champaign-Urbana community. There needs to be an increase because we have a high number of young African-American males that are dropping out of school, that are not doing well in the public school system, and they are in need of, desperate need of support. And I've been advocating and speaking with anyone and everyone at the university, Chancellor Easter and his staff, about the continuation of an after-school program and increasing after-school program for the local youth in the community. The youth in the community are there's just a tremendous amount of social and academic and behavior issues that are going on among these youth in the community. They need some service, they need support, and they need opportunities to be able to succeed in an educational environment. University of Illinois is in Champaign-Urbana, and it's right there in the back door. And our community, the African-American community, especially males, are not benefiting. They are not having access. They are tremendously failing. And I've been a strong advocate about how can I get the university to help support, to find some different ways, to find some methods of bringing young African-American males onto the campus so that they can receive after-school supportive service, educational service, social and behavior. And I've been a strong advocate for this. And I'm here now at the board to ask the board for some guidance with the university so that we can get to some steps so that we can start seeing these numbers increase. The other thing I want to talk about is a charter school. That was something that I had been in discussion with the university for the last couple years. I was instructed to get the support from both superintendents and that we can move in the direction of development of a charter school. That has not happened. As well as the after school program, there was correspondence and commitment to VIA that we would be allowed to continue the after school program and opportunity for a summer program. That did not happen as well. And I'm just going to make some statements about the review committee from the U of I extension. And this is what they stated. They stated that the focus of the U of I extension has been on farming and agriculture, and that we have over 10 million some people living in an urban setting and only 1.5 million living in a rural setting. And it is viable to the service of the state that we address emerging urban issues to do better at educating, outreach, and marketing to untapped and underserved population. There's another point I want to make about the Illinois Ventures. This which receives operational funding and public source through the U of I UC and has over $220 million in private investment and $28 million in federal grants, which has resulted in the development of 58 companies. I am asking this university to please take these issues serious. These issues are devastating our community. You know, I see a number of research going on in our community from the university. I see dissertations and theses being developed from our university. And I'm really, really, our community, we're tired of seeing our young males fail. We're tired of seeing them being incarcerated at high rates. You know, we're tired of seeing the gang problems, the marijuana issues, the substance abuse, and decades of job loss. That's important. I'm an African American male, and I've been asking the universe, hey, I'm here. Let's work together. How can we help? What can we do? This is important to our community, you know, and we need to really, really take some steps to make things to be able to change these and get these young males in a positive direction. So,
Patrick, do you think you and I could just spend a minute after the
I will be happy to spend a minute with you, and I thank you guys for letting me take this time, and appreciate you guys giving me this opportunity to come speak to the board. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Thomas Kinsella. I retired from the Chicago Police Department after 31 years of service, and I'm currently in charge of the Cook County Sheriff's Office of Criminal Intelligence. I've been an active police officer for over 47 years. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the board for allowing me to speak on behalf of law enforcement and for their decision to reject Mr. Ayer's request for emeritus status. In 1969, I was a detective assigned to the Chicago Police Department Intelligence Division during the Days of Rage, 4 days of violent demonstrations conducted by a criminal group known as the Weathermen. Mr. Ayers was one of the co-founders of the Weathermen and a main participant in the violent demonstrations. During this time, the Weathermen were meeting at a church in Evanston when they identified an undercover Chicago police officer, Toby Burton, who had infiltrated the group. The Weathermen severely beat him and put him in the hospital. The following day, there was a violent demonstration in the Loop. I was directly behind the marchers. On cue, the demonstrators broke ranks and began smashing store windows throughout the Loop. I was about 20 feet from attorney Richard Elrod when his life was changed forever and he was sentenced to years of living in a wheelchair. Mr. Ayers was charged criminally for his actions during these days of rage. He chose not to stand trial, but selected to go underground and into hiding. When the criminal charges against him were dropped based on a technical error, Mr. Ayers came out of hiding and described himself as guilty as hell, free as a bird. During his time in hiding, Mr. Ayers and his co-conspirators formed another criminal organization, the Weather Underground. Some members of the Weather Underground joined splinter groups. One such group robbed a Brinks truck in Nyack, New York. The robbery netted them $1.6 million, certainly not an anti-war protest. During the robbery, two police officers, Sergeant Edward O'Grady, a Vietnam veteran, a husband, and a father of three children, and Officer Waverly Brown, also a father of three children, were shot and killed. A Brinks guard, Peter Page, was also shot and killed. Three more victims of the Weather Underground. A number of Mr. Ayer's friends were convicted of the robbery, murder, and sent to prison. Again, victims of the Weather Underground. Fortunately for one of them, Kathy Bowden, while she was imprisoned, her close friend, Mr. Ayers, raised her child. Raising a child, an endeavor none of Mr. Ayers' victims were able to enjoy. In New York City, three other members of the Weather Underground were killed when a bomb they were constructing blew up in their faces. More victims of the Weather Underground. Under current conspiracy and accountability laws, Mr. Ayers may be seen as accountable for some or all of these deaths. In a New York Times interview, which coincidentally was printed on 9/11/2001, the day of the World Trade Center attacks, Mr. Ayers stated how proud he was of his terrorism, how he did not regret setting the bombs, and how he felt he did not do enough. This is domestic terrorism. These bombs could have, and in fact, did kill people. Emeritus status is an extraordinary title that is given for extraordinary service. I wonder if many of Mr. Ayers' victims or their families would describe Mr. Ayers' service as extraordinary. And again, I want to thank the board.
Our next speaker is Professor Barbara Risman.
Thank you for letting me speak. I had a very carefully prepared statement, but it's sort of irrelevant now because it had to do with the restructuring vote about the university that you just took. Nevertheless, I do want to share with you that I came here representing the executive offices of the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences at UIC. We're the largest college at UIC, and we unanimously were going to ask you to postpone this vote until we had more time, the university had more time, and faculty had more time to take a look at the details. That's clearly irrelevant. I do, though, want you to understand just how deep the concern is on the UIC campus about this plan. We all share the same goals for great universities. We don't necessarily see the strategies in the same ways, but we don't really know because the devils are in the detail of any restructuring program, and there aren't a lot of details out there. But I do think the concern has to do with that UIC has worked very hard to not only brand itself as a world-class university with engaged scholarship, with a symbiotic relationship with the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois. That's who we are. We are that university. And there's a lot of concern, fear, and it may be just perceptual fear and nothing else, that the language of one university with a flagship that's elsewhere bodes very ill for UIC. The fear is there, and I want you to hear that fear. I've been an executive officer at UIC since coming to UIC 5 years ago. I've never seen all of us unanimously on anything from physics to African American study, sociology to English. We don't usually all agree on anything. On this, we agreed that we thought it was too quick to do this. We agreed because our faculties fear this. It may only be fear, but fear can turn into perception, and perception can change reality. So please, as we move forward here, we all have the same goal. Please work with the executive offices, with our faculty senate, and with the faculty. Unlike some corporate entities, you have a permanent workforce here. That is, the leadership of the college, the faculties, can't be cleared out to put in people who share the same vision with the current central administration. We do share the same larger vision. We need to work